praise clap this morning for how awesome He is. And you know, that's a truth that we have, that when Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the dead, He overcame the greatest enemy, and that is death. And because He overcame death, Jesus lives today and we can live. And there's no fear, there's no trouble, there's no trial that we will face that He's not able to take care of. Y'all believe that today? Nothing that we'll face that God won't walk with us and is not capable and able of leading us through. And that is the great truth of the resurrected Jesus this morning. Well, thank you for being here. And praise man, thank you for leading us. You did a good job this morning. You know, we're currently in a sermon series about celebration invitation, learning to rejoice even when it's hard. And we are talking about what the Bible says about joy. And what the Bible says about learning how to rejoice. And you know, we live in a world that's full of sadness and depression and hardship. I mean, oh my goodness, if you turn on the news, make sure you take a good Xanax as well. You know what I mean? I mean, this stuff will bog you down. I mean, it will just drag you into the pits. And what we're learning is, even in hard times, difficult times, there are still reasons to rejoice. And we've explained this from a biblical point of view for a few weeks now, that first you got to come to Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you'll never know what joy is. You'll never know. You may know what happiness is. And by the way, happiness is a temporary circumstance. It's a feeling brought on by a temporary circumstance. So happiness is fleeting when joy stays with us. So if you don't come to Jesus, you'll never have joy. But then there's the joy of knowing that when you're in Christ, you're in Christ. That you're not going to go, that He's going to hold you. You are secure. You are to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You are eternally secured. God is doing something in your life, and He's going to keep doing it. He's going to finish the work which He started in you. Then we talked about last week, kind of an odd deal, but when you are persecuted in the name of Jesus, that when you are persecuted as a Christian, there is still joy in that because you bear the name of Jesus, that you are representing Christ. And if you are persecuted because of Jesus, then you are blessed and there is a reason to rejoice because you stood up for truth, you stood up for the right thing, and you preach the gospel, you live for the Lord, and the Lord is in your life. You know, as I was studying about this sermon and really looking into it and doing my homework on it, I found a phrase that really stood out to me. I believe four times in the New Testament, at least in the Holman translation, four times there's a phrase used called complete joy, or so that your joy may be complete. And that struck me kind of odd as I began to study this passage. You know, if something is said one way, one time, you should take notice of it. But if it's said that same way more than once, you should really, really take notice of it. And if it says it that way more than three times, buddy, you need to focus. You need to pay attention because somebody's trying to get your attention if a phrase is used more than once in the Bible. And sure enough, there's a phrase so that your joy may be complete or our joy may be complete. And the man who writes that, he wrote it four times, was the Apostle John. John was one of the disciples, the original 12 that walked with Jesus. And John went on to become a great leader of the church, a great, great leader. He was a wonderful man of God, loved the Lord. And he wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the Gospel, which tells the story of Jesus. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, which were letters written to churches. And then he also wrote the book of Revelation. So John has quite the resume for writing the Bible. Amen. So he's in there. And he uses this phrase, he uses it four times so that your joy may be complete. And he got that phrase from nobody else except for Jesus. And that's when we're going to talk about that. He discovered that phrase. He picked up that phrase about complete joy from our Savior, Jesus Christ. So take in your Bible, and I want you just to look at one instance where he says this. It's in 1 John chapter 1. And that's the 1 John near the book of Revelation. So go almost to the end and then go left, okay? And then you'll run in to 1 John. And in the beginning of that book, he writes this. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that is Jesus.
But that life was revealed, and we have seen it. Remember, John saw it. John saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. And we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father was revealed to us. He's saying, I'm telling you, we know Jesus. We met Jesus. We walked with Jesus. We talked. We ate supper with Jesus. And I want you to know that. That's what he says. And then he says in verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things, so, and read this part with me, so that our joy may be complete. Now, that's one instance of where John says about complete joy. And what John is teaching us today is that, in that instance, he wanted to write to these believers and tell them about Jesus because he would not have a complete joy in his life unless he told somebody about Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus gave him joy. I mean, you think about John. This guy was there at the Transfiguration. He was at the Resurrection. He was there at Pentecost. He knows joy. John knows what it's like to live in joy. And you know, he has the joy, 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 joy down in his heart to stay. Amen? It is there. It ain't going nowhere. And so you look at John and he's like, well, John, why do you need to complete your joy? I mean, don't you have enough? If anybody has a reason to be joyful, John, you have that reason. Because you saw the resurrected Jesus. You saw the resurrected Savior. You have a reason to rejoice. But yet John says, I will not have complete joy until I tell you about Jesus. Now, what is that telling us? Well, John is teaching us something. He's teaching us, as he's using these phrases, that our joy needs to be complete. Now, real quick, the Christian finds joy. This is in your notes, in their relationship with God, okay? The Christian finds joy in their relationship with God, which means this. You'll never have joy unless you know Jesus Christ. Never. That's very, very clear. You will never have a deep, deep joy in your life unless you know Jesus. But now here's the kicker. The joy that is put inside of you is not supposed to just stay inside of you. And I think as we're going to look at this today, in order for you to have a complete joy, it's not just a receiving, but it's also something that you're involved in today. And I think from John, in this instance of making sure that these people knew about Jesus, that was one way that he would complete his joy. So you got kind of a front-end joy, which is what happens to you when the Lord comes into your life. That's the front end. He fills you up with that joy at the moment of salvation. But for that joy to be complete, something else has to happen. The Christian finds joy not only in the relationship with God, but check this out, they find joy in spiritual activity. Now, one way to discern or to decipher this is by saying the Christian disciplines or by saying things that we need to be involved in. For example, sharing your faith brought John joy. And you can, that's not even one of our points, but you can write that out to the side. The complete joy happens when you tell people about Jesus. You can write that. But what we're saying is that if you really want to live a joyful life, not only do you need to receive what God is doing, but you also need to participate in what God is doing. You with me on that today? For complete joy, you need to receive and participate. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you're participating in the things of God, you'll know what joy is. You'll know what it's like to have a complete joyful life when you are receiving the things from God and then participating in the things of the Lord as well. So if John thought it was important to say this phrase over and over, which obviously came from Jesus, this phrase came from Jesus, what is he talking about complete joy? Well, I would say today, and I would argue today, that for you all believers, you have to go beyond just giving your life to Jesus. Now, understand what I'm saying with it. That's the first step. When Christ comes into your life and you accept the Lord as your Savior and He saves you, your sins are forgiven, you are eternally secured, you are going to heaven, God is doing a great work in your life. But for you to understand what real joy is, you also need to participate and be involved in the things of God. So today I ask you, are you involved in these activities? Are you involved in these spiritual disciplines that you need to complete your joy in life? Are you involved in the things of God? Are you participating in the things of the Lord to have complete joy in your life. Well, can you write all those things? What are those things that would make our joy complete today if we were to participate in? And we're going to dig into that here in a second. But let me, before I tell you these, let me make sure you understand that this is what comes after you give your life to Jesus. See, it's not one or the other for complete joy. You give your life to Christ, and then you participate in the things of Christ. If you just participate, first off, you'll never be able to do it because there's no gas in your tank, okay? If you can't have Christ in your life, you don't have the ability and the Spirit-filled power to participate. It won't happen. So if you think if I just participate, that'll take me to heaven, you have misheard what I'm saying. I'm saying because you are saved and you have joy in your life, therefore, you do these things. Y'all with me this morning? Therefore, you do these things because Jesus is living in your life. And the promise today is that you'll be joyful if you do these things. Well, can we write all these things? What are these things that you're talking about? If these are joyful activities that we do that increases joy in our life, hey, aren't you happy? This isn't a pill. This isn't some medicine you take. This isn't some self-help deal. This is getting on board with God today. This is getting in tune with the Lord. Real quick, complete joy first comes in keeping His commands. It comes in keeping His commandments. Now look what Jesus first told us about complete joy. Jesus said, as the Father loved me in John 15, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands and you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. And look what He says, I have spoken these things to you. Here it is, you ready? So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that somebody would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You know, this is what's interesting. God is our friend today because of His love for us. But are you His friend today? Are you His friend? Jesus tells us how to be His friend. But if you break this apart, check this out. He says if we are in His love and we are in His love, we will obey His what? His commandments. This is why when somebody says, well, Kenny, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But foul language is spewing out of your mouth, or you're getting drunk on the weekends, or you're swearing, you're cussing, you skip church. But I love Jesus. But I love Jesus. Man, me and Jesus are tight, man. It's like talking to y'all. Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about, but we got our own thing going, all right? Me and Jesus got our... Derek got it. Derek got it today. He got it. Good for you, Derek. Good for you. You know, we got our own thing going. Here's the deal. You and Jesus both got your own thing going. You get involved with Him. Amen? If you love Jesus, you will what? You will obey His commandments. That's what it's about. You obey His commandments. Not that you get your own thing going. That's not how it works. You get on board with Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He says that our joy will be complete if we obey His commands. Okay, well, He wants His commands. Well, He tells us, look, this is my command. Verse 12. What does it say? Say it out loud with me. This is my command. Love one another as I've loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us? Let's look at the cross this morning. Stretch His hands out, His feet out, crown of thorns on His head, whips on His back, blood poured out for us, shed for us, which is the life-giving blood of Jesus, which connects us to God the Father. That's His love for us. What He tells us is this is how we ought to love people. So that the joy of Jesus will be in us, and so that our joy will be complete, we need to love each other. And love each other. Well, Kenny, how do we love each other? Well, Jesus tells us. He laid down His life for us. Amen? He died for us. Therefore, what should we do? We should sacrifice for other people. That's what love is. That is sacrificing for other people. It's for sacrificing for your physical family. It's when you work a job and you don't take all your money and blow it on toys and gizmos and gadgets, but you budget and you put back for your children and you pay off your debt and you sacrifice, you skip the boat to make a payment on something so your kids can know what it's like to live a stable life. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice for your family. Yeah, you may not get the new bass boat, which you really, really want, but you're putting into a college education for your child. That's sacrifice. That's laying down your pride to help your family. It's sacrificing for your church family. It's sacrificially giving above the tithe and helping with finances. It's coming to serve. It's getting here at 8 o'clock and stacking chairs and making coffee and pulling the trailer and all that stuff. It's sacrificing for your neighbors. It's going next door and helping your neighbor fix their fence. Helping that shut-in down the road, mow their yard if they can't do it. It's sacrifice. Well, Kenny, you don't understand. All that requires time and energy and effort that I don't have. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Kenny, that will cause me a hurt. You know what? I hear you. You're absolutely right. But Kenny, God doesn't want us to sacrifice and hurt. Whoa, stop right there. Who taught you that? Who taught you that Jesus doesn't want you to hurt? Some TV preacher told you that? If you just love God, you'll have all the money, all the comfort, all the health. That's not what the Bible says. Listen, if Jesus laid down His life and suffered for us, and that's what the Father laid on the Son, why should we expect any difference? Why should we expect any difference? Okay, sacrificing for people hurts. Yeah, it does. But you ready? Joy comes in that. When you sacrifice and you hurt for somebody, you ready? Joy comes in your life. That bass boat may give you happiness, but it goes away. What happens when that bass boat rusts? What happens when it gets a hole in it right in the middle of the lake? Amen? You know? I ain't against bass boats. If God's blessed you and you can afford that, great. That's fine. That's fine. But it's all about priority, sacrificing for your family, being, y'all with me on that today, taking care of people, taking care of your church, by laying down your life for them. You know, today there are many people in this church that have laid down so much for you to be here today. Many, many people that have laid down so much just for you to worship today. Isn't that wonderful? So many people have done that. So many people that you don't even know have sacrificed for you to be here. People that you'll never meet have sacrificed for you to be here today. I promise you that's the truth. But when you love and you give, joy will be completed in your life. Never forget that. Second, complete joy also comes in moments of prayer. The second time Jesus used the term complete joy, He said it in John 16, 23 through 24. He says, "In that day you will not ask Me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in My name. Asking, you will receive, so that your joy," there it is again, "may be complete." John said that when Jesus was on earth, He told them, He said, "You know, here I am. You know, you see Me bodily, but there's a day coming when you get to talk to the Father directly. You have hotline to God. You have a direct connection to the Lord." Isn't that great that when Jesus died on the cross and He sacrificed for us, He bled for us, He suffered for us, isn't it great today that when He did that, He restored relationship with God? Now understand that He restored relationship. If you don't know Jesus today, you don't have a relationship with God. It's broken. Therefore, you need to receive Jesus as Savior, ask Him into your heart, let Him come into your life and save you, and He will restore relationship. You know, the very first prayer that God hears a sinner pray is the prayer for that person acknowledging Christ as Lord, for them to come in their life. Very first prayer He hears. See, we're separated from God because of our sin. We're separated from God. Very first prayer He'll ever hear. Somebody will say, "Kenny, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, but He doesn't answer my prayers." And I just want to ask you, well, do you know Him? Is He in your life? You know, Jesus said that when you begin to ask in His name and you're connected to the Father, complete joy is there. So spending time in prayer is critical for a joyful life. If you aren't spending moments of prayer asking the Father in the name of Jesus, having a prayer time, you can't live a completed joyful life. It won't happen. You have to have these times that you spend with the Lord. Now, that being said, when you are asking in the name of the Lord, He promises to answer. Isn't that amazing? Asking you shall receive. But now you ask in His name, which means what? That you're spending time with Him, and you're not going to ask something that's contrary to His will. See, when you ask God, He will always reply back. Always. Except He might not do it the way you want Him to. That's the only thing. Hey, when he answers your prayers, he will answer them one in three ways. You ready? He'll say, yes, we're going to bless you with that. No, you're not going to get that. Or the third way he answers, you're going to get it, but not right now. Not right now. You think it's God's will for us to have a building one day, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely it is. Some of y'all praying for buildings, aren't you? I am too. So why hasn't he given us one yet? You ready? Can you do that? Can you do that? So why hasn't he? You ready? Because he wants to teach us something. That's why. He wants to teach you something. Because he's so much better. So when you spend moments of prayer with God, he is educating you and you are fellowshipping with him. And you are praying. And he will always answer according to his will. That's why you got to pray in his name. You got to be on board. You start asking God to blow your neighbor's house up with an atomic bomb because he is dog pooping your yard. That ain't going to happen, okay? So you got to be in tune with the Lord and ask God to do stuff. You got to be in tune with the Lord. Now, what does that mean? If you want complete joy, you got to have moments of prayer. When's your moment of prayer? Let me just give you a tip, if I can. If you don't schedule a moment of prayer, the day will not give it to you. Now, did y'all hear me on that? If you don't schedule a moment of prayer, the day will not give it to you. I'll read it on my lunch break. No, you won't. Something will happen. This will happen. Or maybe I'll do it here if I get time. No, you got to say, this is the time that I'm going to have my moment of prayer. Be that in the morning. Be that at night. Be that at your lunch break, but you're able to go whenever it is. You got to say, this is my time. Well, Kenny, that might involve me waking up early. Oh, Lord, help us. Really? Really? Hey, Keith Green used to say, he's a famous Christian songwriter. He said, man, Jesus rose from the dead and you can't even get out of bed, man. You know, and think about that. But here's the deal. Many of us lack joyful lives because we're just not spending time with God. Can I just be honest with you? We're just not spending. That's why somebody can go through a hardship and still have the joy of the Lord, because they're daily communing with God. Daily communing with God. Daily spending time in His Word and praying. You know, Moses, in the Old Testament, when he was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and talking with God and Lord was doing stuff, when he came down from the mountains, anybody remember what he looked like? Anybody remember what happened to old Mo when he came down off the mountain? What happened to his face? Anybody remember? Somebody tell me if you know. Say it out loud. What happened? What happened? It glowed, didn't it? The glory of God was on his face. It was glowing. If you remember in the Old Testament, they had to put a towel over his face because it was freaking everybody out. It was scaring everybody. So they had to put a towel over his face until it kind of faded away. You know what happens when you spend time with God? You glow. You glow with the joy of the Lord when you spend time with God. So understand that complete joy comes in moments of prayer. But third, complete joy, don't miss this part, comes in Christian fellowship. In Christian fellowship. John would later write, echoing the words of Jesus, in his second letter called 2 John, in verse 12, just one chapter in John, and this is what he says. Though I have many things to write to you, this is John speaking, not Jesus, but listen to what he says. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to do so with paper and ink. Can I translate this real quick in the modern day terminology? I have many things to say to you, but I do not want to send you an email or a text message. I hope to be with you. Oh, Lord, help us. This is revolutionary. This is insane. This is insane in the membrane. This is nuts, what he's getting ready to say. This is money, what he's getting ready to say. I hope to be with you and talk. Oh, my goodness, say it with me. Face to face. Can I tell you something? We need to do that. We need to talk face to face so that our joy may be what? Complete. Let me tell you something. You won't have complete joy in your life until you get face to face with other Christians. Do you know that? You know what happens if you take a coal that's burning bright on that fire? I mean, you could cook meat if enough coals are together. Cook meat with it. But if you take just one coal and you separate it from the glowing coals, and it's still glowing when you move it, and you set it off to the side, what happens to it? It cools down, doesn't it? Do you know that when you take a Christian and remove them from fellowship, their joy begins to deplete? It does. Now, I want to warn you guys, this is one of the devil's oldest tricks in the book. I mean, this is one of his oldest tricks in the book. And just hear my heart. I have seen it in every church I've been in. Something happens, and you skip church, okay? You know what happens next Sunday? It's even easier to skip church. Y'all with me on this? So what happens the third Sunday? You ready? It's easier to skip. And you go on down the line. That's a trick the devil has used over and over and over and over. But I'm going to tell you something. When you are with Christians and you're gathering with Christians and believers, here's what's awesome. Your joy is complete. Hey, I want to tell you something. Last night, I don't think I had as much joy last night seeing Charles in a little bitty sombrero. That just blessed my heart, buddy. It blessed my heart. He's a big guy wearing a little bitty sombrero. I loved it, you know? I loved it. I'm going to tell you something. When you are with your Christian brothers and sisters, it's joy. That's why on Sunday morning, we're stacking chairs. We're guzzling coffee by the gallon over here. I mean, you know, we're trying to get the screens not to flicker and sound equipment not from popping. And we're loving it. We're loving it. That doesn't mean you don't have to do that. But here's what you do have to do. You got to be involved. Amen? You got to be involved with each other. You need to be. There's three ways that we need to gather in Christian fellowship. I'll go over them quickly. You have the big group gathering. What's big group gathering? Worship. That's right. That's what we're doing right now, Jerry. That's what we're doing right now. This is big group worship. We need to sing together. That's why when the music is sung, don't just stand there and listen. Belt it out. All right. And I'm so glad the Lord said, make a joyful noise, because that's all I can give is just a noise. Okay. So belt it out. Sing praises. And you know what? When we're praising and we're getting our praise on together, it's a joy. So you got the big group. Then you got the what? Help me here. You got the small group. And we call that at Life Community. What we call those? Life groups is what we call them. Last Wednesday night, our life group met in my house. We had a great time. And we prayed with each other, and we laughed, and just had a good time. We just enjoyed each other's fellowship. We studied the Bible. We just enjoyed it. It was good. It was just good. So you got the big group, small group, and then you got the serving groups that happen. There's joy in serving. You know, those that are with kids, those that are working with kids, those that are helping with coffee, there's joy in that. When we go on this mission trip to New York, I always tell everybody, you got to ride together on the bus if you're going to go. Now, why is that? You can't just fly and beat us there. We ain't going to let you go if you're going to do that. We're not going to let you do it. If you're going to fly, and we'll say, no, you can't fly. You got to ride with us. Now, why is that? You ready? Because when you're in a stinky, crammed up bus together, you know what I'm talking about? Joe over here is puking his brains out because he's motion sickness. And then you got the guy that talks way, way too much, which is me. And, you know, he's just annoying everybody. And then there's the guy that wants everybody to listen to this awesome CD that's blessed his heart. So we listen to it 50 times and we still don't like it as much as he does. You know, but when that happens, fellowship is building. Are you with me? It's building. It's building. And it's joy. A mission trip, man, it's in three parts. On the way up, there, and on the way back. I'm telling you. God does a great work in that. So what I'm telling you is, if you want a complete joy, you got to get involved in the things of God. You've got to keep His commandments, which is loving and helping each other. You have to be moments of prayer, daily having a prayer time with God. And you got to know what Christian fellowship is. But I think what we really need to understand is that we owe it to people to be joyful. Now let me explain that real quick. We owe it to our coworkers, our family, our friends, and our neighbors to live lives of joy. Now, why is that? Well, let me tell you. The last time I read, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." that he gave his one and only son. I want to tell you something. When we understand that we are included in the world, that Jesus died for all of us, but also our friends, our neighbors, and our family, he died for them as well. When people see the joy of the Lord about us, that doesn't make sense. When things are tough and hard and difficult, and they see the joy, even though, and we've understood this, that you can still be sad, y'all with me on that, and have joy. It undergirds everything. It's there inside of you. That when the Lord is in your life, and people see that, the joy of the Lord in your life and hardship, they see Jesus. And if Christ died for us, we likewise need to let everybody know that he's done a great work in our life. And show people. Y'all with me on that today? That the joy of the Lord is our strength. That the joy of the Lord is our strength today. You know, A.W. Tozer wrote this. George Mueller, famous preacher, ran an orphanage, would not preach until his heart was happy in the grace of God. John Wesley actually converted. He was in a dead religion. He, the founder of the Methodist Church, he was in a dead religion. Thought he was saved, preaching, until he was on a boat going across the sea, and these missionaries were in the midst of a storm. Everything was going crazy. They were all about to die, and these missionaries are joyfully singing praises to God, and John Wesley looked at them and said, "How can you guys be doing this? I'm about to die. I'm scared to death," and there they are, joyful, singing praises to God in the midst of a storm. See, that would speak to Wesley so much. And he realized that the joy of the Lord wasn't in him. So a preacher gave his life to Jesus and was saved because of the joy of a bunch of missionaries riding in a boat that's about to collapse. Got saved. Founded the Methodist Church. What am I saying today? I'm saying this is that Jesus has died on the cross for you. You need to receive Christ as Savior for joy. But you need to complete that joy by participating in the things of God. You need to complete it. He's put it in you. Now you need to complete it by participating today. Here's some next steps. If you don't know Jesus today and you've never given your life to Christ, then you're a sinner separated from God on your way to hell. That's not joyful. That's sad. But Christ wants to save you. Maybe today you need to ask the Lord into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe your next step today is that you need to find somebody to love today. You need to find somebody to love. Maybe you need to find somebody difficult to love today. Because you sure were difficult when God saved you. Amen? You need to find somebody difficult to love. So who are you going to show love to? Sacrificial love. Maybe you need to begin spending time with God. When is that on your calendar? Is that in the morning when you wake up? Is that at night? Is that on your lunch break? Realistically, when will you be least interrupted? When can you get on your knees in the privacy and pray? And how will you be involved in Christian fellowship? Will you sign up for the next life group? Will you get involved in a serving group for the next semester? You know, we got those out there. Will you just go ahead and say, you know, count me in as being an usher. Count me in as being a door greeter. Count me in on the kids' church. Count me in on the nursery. And if you're a member of Life Community, you need to serve somewhere. Somewhere you need to serve. Maybe today in Christian fellowship, and it simply involves this. Maybe it's looking at somebody in this room that you don't know who they are, but you're in this church and you just go to them and say, "Hey, we're all going to go to Texas Roadhouse after services. Would you come with us?" Kenny, I don't know them. Well, guess what? They don't know you either. You'll be all right. I promise. They won't bite. Well, some of them will, but you'll be all right. But how will you participate in the things of God today? Because when we participate in the things of the Lord, our joy is what? Our joy is complete. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for the joy of the Lord today. And Father, in this moment right now, we ask you to let us be active and involved, God, to see where you're moving and to join you, Father. We ask you to help us to do that. Lord, if that's serving, if that's loving somebody, if that is sacrificing, if that's scheduling our prayer time, God, whatever it is, help us today to do that. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, I just pray you'll speak it in their heart right now. God, I pray you'll convict them. that you'll help them to see that Jesus is not against them. He is for them. I pray they'll come forward today in the name of Jesus and say, I don't understand it all, but I just need Christ in my life. I pray that'll happen, Lord. So God, lift somebody up who's downtrodden today. Lift them up. Encourage them. Encourage the brokenhearted this morning. Help them to trust in Jesus and to find complete joy. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We invite you to come and pray. If you need me to chat with you, to pray with you, I invite you to come. If you need Christ, step out of that aisle. Do as God is calling you to do as we sing.